Hey, hey, and welcome to this, the 4D Recruitment Method podcast with me, Jeremy Snell. Join me as we unpack ideas, tactics, and processes to help you grow your business. Welcome, welcome, and thank you for joining me on this episode of the podcast, the 4D Recruitment Method. Now, at its heart, the core essence of success with the 4D Recruitment Method is all about the experience that we create for customers. Although we may sell solutions, really it's the experience that our customers calibrate the most, right? The experience that we provide to the candidates that we engage with, the experience that we provide to the prospects that we sell to, who then become our customers, who we then deliver solutions to. That experience is what makes them come back again. It is that experience that they recommend to other people. It's that experience that helps us to be able to create something which feels different, that feels unique. So we're not caught in this trap of perpetually being compared to competitors. Because the moment we start to get compared to our competitors, everything revolves around being better or quicker or smoother or easier. When in reality, what we're doing when we adopt the 4D recruitment method is we are showcasing our ability to be able to deliver a set of outcomes and improve the quality of the experience for every single customer who's involved in it, which ultimately makes it more difficult to be able to compare to other vendors of recruitment services. So when I record the podcast, I'm often thinking about the profile of a person, right? The individual who I want to have listening to this that I feel this is going to be most impactful for. The 4D recruitment method is specifically for what I would describe as being experienced, good quality recruitment professionals who are seeking an opportunity to be able to increase the quality of the work that they are doing on behalf of their customers by getting more breathing space, by having more opportunity to properly be able to flex those recruitment muscles and prove how good they are, whilst at the same time influencing the average level of spend per customer so that the work that they do becomes more profitable and increasing the average order values that those customers are making over the course of the year, so each account itself starts to spend more money. Because when we start to provide a experience that those customers can't find elsewhere, when we start to be able to showcase our ability to produce the outcomes that others haven't been able to do so, it becomes far more difficult for them to make those comparisons to talk about the other agencies and what they're willing to do. And one of the frustrations that I had initially as a consultant was I found at the point of briefing or during the sales process, those references would often be made. Hey, Jeremy, you know that there are other agencies who are willing to do it for less. And initially that used to make me recoil a little bit, not necessarily because I didn't like being compared to the other agencies. It took me a while to learn how to recoil at that. I recoiled at the prospect suggesting that what they wanted to do was to set my prices. And I found it difficult in the early days of recruitment, finding a way to be able to justify why, in their opinion, I wanted more for what they felt was the same service. And I guess if you have some empathy with a client, the service from the outside looking in doesn't look particularly different, right? We go from instructing you on a job to then receiving recommendations that are profiles or CVs, to then going through a process to then making a hire. Whether it is permanent or contract, the process from the outside looking in doesn't look that much different. And because it doesn't look that much different, you may claim to be a specialist in X, Y, and Z. You may claim to have these unique selling points that bolt onto what I would consider to be the core process, but ultimately, the experience is often the same. So as a differentiator, I am likely to want to talk about things like prices and to talk about the rules of engagement. You know, how exactly we engage in this as an agreement and when payments are likely to be made. And as a consultant, that used to frustrate me. So I started to invest more and more time to think about how do I create a different experience in the sales process so that I create a different experience for me in the buying process. And as I started to change my sales process so that it became unique or different, the responses started to change. The objections started to soften. The objections started to disappear. The objections started to change. And I can remember that moment when clients would start to say, hey, this all sounds really good. It does sound as though it's going to be expensive. Like they were preparing themselves in their own mind for a quote that they were expecting to be higher. And that was a significant shift, right? That was the shift from, hey, look, other agencies are willing to do it for X, other agencies are willing to do it for less, to actually softening their own thought process that revolved around price sensitivity and preparing themselves for something that they needed to justify to themselves for being a little bit more expensive. Right, so that shift I felt was a really important moment in the evolution as to how I did recruitment. Evolution sounds a bit, bit cheesy, right? Apologies. I don't know, just the development of what I was doing, right? I'm sure many of you have been there too. And over the course of the last 15 years that I've been working as a coach and as an L&D professional, both with consultants who are hands-on, employed in businesses, helping them to be able to improve their processes, their outreach, their structure, or working with business owners to help them to influence the internal culture that revolved around sales and delivery by helping to be able to refine process. That's really where the essence of the 4D recruitment method has really been born from. So the person who I'm sharing this for is likely to be that experienced recruiter, that person who knows that they're good. Maybe that person who from time to time just gets frustrated or is starting to feel a bit jaded with the external market's perceptions of who they are without ever having engaged with them. And perhaps I'm doing this for the person who feels that too frequently clients discover how good they are in hindsight after they'd filled the job, rather than being able to create an onboarding process that in foresight, the client has a higher sense of anticipation that this is going to be good. And I'm certainly doing this for those who get a little frustrated, as I used to do, with some of the flippant instructions that clients might throw out there. Like, have a quick look on your books and see who you've got. And in fact, it was that phrase, people. Now that I say that out loud, it was that phrase that started me on my quest, my journey to want to do something different. Because at that moment, I can remember sitting in a client meeting in the office of this prospect. And the prospect said, yes, we are looking for one of these. They gave me a brief and said, tell you what, why don't you have a look and see who you've got in your books and then let me know. And I was confused because I didn't really know what they meant. So I asked them, what do you think I do? When I go back to the office, what do you think I'm actually going to do? And this is when I realized that they had no real understanding as to what my job was. And perhaps in the past, I'd been overly reliant on other recruiters from other agencies having educated the client, the prospect, as to what I do based upon what they do. And so many things hit me as I drove back from that meeting. It hit me that I'd been making too many assumptions that just because I was meeting what I would consider to be senior managers in good businesses, that they knew what recruitment was. I made too many assumptions that because I was meeting these senior managers who were working in good businesses, that their level of understanding as to how they recruit would be equal to my capability because I was like 18 months to 2 years into recruitment. And as a youthful recruiter meeting middle-aged managers, I strangely thought that they would be better at recruiting than they really were. And thirdly, I was making this assumption that when I was going out on these meetings, because they'd worked with other agencies, the other agencies may have been a little more explicit in actually describing, this is what I'm going to do. And at that moment, that's when I started to recalibrate, actually, what is the job that I'm doing? What is the purpose of what I do? And when I redefined the purpose of what I do, The purpose of what I do is to help to be able to educate, coach, and ultimately transform the process that the clients that I work with follow to help them to be able to achieve greater levels of success with their hiring. Whether that is how they engage with me so that there is a better link, right? A better link between them, their goals, their mission, the purpose of the hire, and how they go about briefing me so that I become an extension of what they're doing with a level of understanding that ensures that the quality of the matching is much better because I've invested more time in the discovery. And I've invested more time in the discovery that is actually about the process and the journey rather than simply a discovery of the content of the job. And I could see in my peripheral vision how often my colleagues would focus the majority of their time on qualifying the job, like what do you want to hire? Very little understanding of why do you want to hire, and almost no understanding of how do you go about hiring. And the more energy that I invested in why do you want to hire and how do you propose to hire, the better I understood some of the challenges that they faced that right now they weren't particularly aware of. They weren't necessarily aware of how they were setting their stall out to actually go about doing the hiring, like the process they were going to follow, how it may actually be broken at its core because it was not going to help them to be able to find what they were looking for because the assessments were pointed in the wrong place. Or the better I understood why they were hiring, the easier it was for me to be able to match people who had the right attitude and the right behaviours, as opposed to simply finding people that had the right level of tenure and the right amount of qualifications. So as I dialed up in my discovery on understanding why they wish to hire, so that I could do better, deeper level matching, and how they propose to go about doing it, so that I can understand more about the purpose of each of those stages, the involvement of each of those stakeholders, what they would consider to be the core assessments that needed to be done, and how they were going to calibrate, can this person do what we're looking to do? And as I lent into doing that and focused on it more, I started to discover, probably as many of you have too, just how shit some companies are at hiring, and just how poor some managers are at doing interviews. And as I started to ask more and more managers, when was the last time you had formal training on how to be able to conduct a recruitment process? What coaching have you had on your interview capability? How do you measure the performance of your recruitment process to ensure that it is helping you to be able to stand out from your competitors? How do you influence the quality of your brand with each and every candidate that you engage with to make your future hiring easier? And as I started to invest more time in those questions, I started to get invited earlier into more processes, which then gave me more access to senior managers. It gave me a seat at the table more frequently as roles were being scoped, and it allowed me to be able to show them what good could really look like in terms of defining the right process, the right assessments, the right go-to-market strategies, the right level of engagement that started to give these businesses a gateway to doing something not just better, but differently. And when they started to do something differently, and it started to create more engagement, whether it was a local authority who I was helping to hire a head of investment, or it was a major manufacturing organization helping them to recruit a CFO. It didn't really matter on the profile of the organization. It didn't really seem to matter about the size of the business. Because for each and every one of those engagements, as I started to help to be able to design a better process, help to be able to create a more meaningful journey that helped them to hire with greater confidence, it helped them as an organization to be able to develop. it helped them at a departmental level to become better at being able to retain people, and it helped me to become more valuable. And that was my journey as to how I started through experimentation, through curiosity, through no doubt screwing it up, getting it wrong and making mistakes, but reflecting on those things to help me to get better, to help me to be able to refine things. And that's a lot of the work that I've done in all of the coaching and all of the business mentoring and all of the L&D work that I've done with customers that has helped me to be able to pull together what I've now formulated as this 4D recruitment method. So for those of you who are paying attention and listening, there are a number of things that I hope that you can take away from this. Number one, if you have those frustrations that revolve around the comparisons between you and others, where you have this genuine belief that you are better, yet it feels as though clients may only discover that in hindsight. And maybe even that's become your pitch. Maybe you're even pitching the fact that, well, let's work on this basis, and then once we've done this, you'll realise how good I am, and then we can re-engage. Right? So you almost are mitigating for the fact that you only know how to educate people in hindsight. Whereas if you pulled together some stronger collateral that became your evidence stack to be able to say, let me show you what I do, as opposed to simply talking about what you do. And to move away from the, have a look on your books, waiting for that trigger, and actually being a little more mindful of the fact that working with you and working with other recruiters, there is very little similarity. You can't talk on behalf of their businesses and what they do. You can talk on behalf of yours. And when you've got clarity on, this is how I work, this is what I do, this is where I'm able to help you to be able to achieve greater levels of agility, stronger results, better quality outcomes. Because it's not just about understanding the job that you're giving to me, because that's the easy thing. The majority of recruitment businesses out there have some form of process to help you to be able to find CVs. It doesn't necessarily fix what is often the hidden core problem, which is ensuring that you are hiring the right people in the right timescales who have the right level of capability to deliver the mission, and they're going to stick. So as you refine your collateral to help you to be able to showcase this, I'm quietly confident that very few of the businesses that they're talking to other than yours have got that level of depth to be able to actually show this is what good recruitment looks like. And I know from personal experience / professional experience in my job, not everyone is comfortable with challenging a prospect. There is still today a strong culture in recruitment that it's about take the brief, understand the job, do your utmost to maintain their attention, whether that is through exclusivity or some attempt to be able to get a retainer, or through the need for speed through the contract recruitment process. That still means that the client is holding on to problems that they don't realise that they've got, because no one's truly helped them to unpack why are you hiring and how do you propose to do that? Because I think, and this is me getting judgy now, I think that the last 10 years in recruitment, the only real differentiator that you needed to have was, do you have the candidate? And if you've got the candidate, you're likely to get people's attention. We're not really in that kind of marketplace anymore. So success today is far more about, do you have the consultancy capability to help me to identify the problems I don't realise that I've got, that are the root cause for some of the challenges that I'm facing in either scaling my team, growing my business, or holding on to good people? And if you've got the collateral, the tools, the checklists, the weaponry that you can show me as to how you create difference, by design you become different. So the embracing of the 4D, the discovery, the design, the development and the delivery of good quality solutions, at its core sits the experience that we create for our customers. And when you create that experience, and you can start to show people this is how we can consistently deliver that at scale, you're going to build yourself a portfolio of customers who work with you for the life of your business. So if you have any questions or it piques any curiosity and you'd like to be able to find out more, clearly subscribe to the pod because I will keep on sharing things that revolve around 4D. Keep your eyes peeled for the newsletter. In the newsletter, I will be in printed format sharing different tactics and different ideas. And in the very near future, we'll be looking at the 4D recruitment method being something that you're going to be able to get access to on a more formal basis to help you to be able to transform your own business. So I look forward to engaging with you somewhere out there. And if you've got any questions, hit me up on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. And remember, if there's anything I can do to help, just drop me a message.